know I said I was going to finish that sermon this morning, this afternoon, or at least get back to the second part of it. But then a funny thing happened. My brother walked in. And when I saw him, we had the Cold Harbor lectureship that started this week, and it ends today. And we were privileged to be on that on yesterday. I preached yesterday, and Eric preached this morning. He had the Sunday morning Bible class as well as the Sunday morning worship. And so I knew it was a possibility he might get here, but I wasn't sure. And so whenever he comes here, I tell him I'm always offering him the opportunity to preach the gospel, because I know it's good for you to hear him, and it's good for him to be able to speak to us those things pertaining to God's word. So always delighted to have him, and always does us good to listen to the man of God bring forth God's word. And so he's already preached twice today, so I don't suspect he'll be very long, but at any rate, look who's talking now. At any rate, we are so thankful to have him, and we're going to let him come and present us God's word. Eric, take as much time as you need, but come preach to us.
Amen. Good afternoon. Great to see you. It's always good to be here. It's a privilege and an honor, and we appreciate the opportunity. Have your Bibles. Join me quickly in Hebrews chapter 11. As you're turning, I'll relay to you the title of our sermon this afternoon. I'm going to try to avoid saying tonight, because this is not tonight, is it? It's just this afternoon. I'll do the best I can with that. Hebrews chapter 11, the first four verses. The title of our sermon is this: What Will Your Legacy Be? What will your legacy be? The Hebrew writer wrote these words: Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Compliments are a wonderful thing. In fact, everybody wants them. I might go further and say everybody needs them. I still might say this also then: when you have an opportunity, even today, give somebody one. We like to hear things nice said about us while we're living. That's real nice. But you know what we really want is for people to say nice things about us when we're dead. And I have attended enough funerals that typically that's what takes place. No matter how people live, people say nice things about them. I trust most of the time it's true. But even more than people saying nice things about you, you know what you really want? When you and I are dead and we are gone from this place, what we really want is for God to say nice things about us. And what we're reading here in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 is compliments from God. God is looking at the lives of humans and he is saying nice things about them. In fact, we read about Abel. That Abel was righteous. God said that. In verse 5, the Bible says Enoch had this testimony. He walked with God. He pleased God. What a nice thing to say. Abraham, as you know, will be called the friend of God. James 2:23. Moses is referred to as a faithful servant in all of God's house. Hebrews 3:5. And then there's Daniel. He is referred to as greatly beloved. Daniel 9:22-23. Of John the Baptist, Jesus said he is the greatest prophet ever born of women, Luke 7:28. And Daniel, Job, Noah are all called righteous, Ezekiel 14:14 and verse 20. David, everyone knows, is said to be a man after God's own heart, Acts 13:22. And how about the Hebrew writer saying of Abel, he being dead yet speaks, Hebrews 11:4. And in a summary statement of everybody in Hebrews chapter 11, these words are found. Verse 13, these all died in faith. Boy, if there was something to be said about you, wouldn't that be it? Yes, these all died in faith. And God is the one saying it? Every person in this chapter, every person in the Bible, every person who has ever lived has left a legacy. In fact, friends, you and I are going to leave one too. The only question is this: what will it be? Legacies are actually unavoidable. There's nothing you can really do about it. Everybody has to leave one. You can't live here and not leave a legacy. Joshua understood this very well. Back in Joshua chapter 24, the Bible says he called the entire nation together. The first part of that chapter, he reminds them of their past. In that chapter, he reminds them of God's goodness. And then he spoke of their future and their legacy. He even talked about his own. In Joshua 24 and verse number 15, Joshua tells us at least these three things with regards to legacies. Number one, he says legacies are determined by choice. Joshua said choose. You know, in large part, human life can be summed up largely into two general categories, two large groups. There are people who have chosen to live for God and live with God, and there are people who have chosen not to, and that's pretty much it. Everybody makes a choice. Joshua says choose. It's the result of freedom. Because God made us free, everybody has to choose. In fact, it's unavoidable. You have to choose. There were two trees in the garden. Adam and Eve had a choice to make. Cain and Abel had a choice to make. The state of the world in Noah's day was a state of choice, Genesis chapter 6. Legacies are unavoidable because choices are unavoidable. Joshua said, choose. In fact, friends, you have been choosing for some time already. Joshua also says this, legacies are personal. The question is, what will your legacy be? It's not really about other people because everybody here has and will make choices. But Joshua says, choose ye. Every person has to choose. God is going to judge the world fairly. Peter says in Acts 10:34, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Nobody will choose God and then be disappointed with the choice. God won't renege. On the other hand, nobody will choose evil and be blessed spiritually. God won't miss it. Colossians 3:25, he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong what he had done, and there is no respecter of persons. You see, God can't get it wrong. He'll get it right. Every choice, every person, Adam and Eve, Cain and Moses, Saul, all chose. Choose ye. That's Joshua's point. But then there's this third point, and that's this. Choice is present and perpetual. Joshua said, choose ye this day. You can't really put it off. In fact, every day is a choice being made. Our lives are largely the result of accumulated choices made. Even to this present hour, you are who you have becoming all along. You've been choosing. Now, part of the problem with this is not that people don't understand it. It is that they don't like it. They generally disagree with it, and they want it to be different. It just can't. Balaam wanted to choose one way of living and then leave a different legacy. Far too many people today want the exact same thing. They want to set out on a path that's completely contrary to God, that provides them all the personal satisfaction and pleasure they seek. And then on the other hand, when life is over and God has to decide what they are, they want God to say nice things. Balaam wanted to curse God's people. In fact, he wanted money for it. But however, Balaam wanted to have a legacy that was righteous. He wanted to live wickedly and have a righteous legacy. Here's his own words about the desire he wanted to leave or his legacy. Numbers 23 and verse number 10 records, who can count the dust of Jacob, he says, and the number of the fourth part of Israel? And then he requests this, let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. And one of the great things about the Bible is, if you appear in the Old Testament, it's quite possible you might be talked about in the New Testament. And if you appear in the Old Testament and the record of you is there, the New Testament writers, if they speak about you, they will give an inspired account of what you actually are. And so Balaam says, let me die the death of the righteous, even though he lived the life of the wicked. And then the New Testament writers wrote about him. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 15, Peter, who starts a chapter with false prophets and people who have left God, includes Balaam. And he says of those in his day that they were behaving like Balaam. Here are his words, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. The New Testament account of Balaam's legacy is not righteous. Jude would say the same thing in his book. In the book of Jude, in verse number 11, Jude says, who ran into they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam. John also records Balaam's legacy in the Revelation. Revelation chapter 2, beginning in verse number 14, he says, I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, the son of Balak, to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit fornication. Three inspired New Testament writers write about Balaam's legacy, and friends, is anything but righteous. His request was, let me die the death of the righteous. But friends, he didn't live the life of the righteous. That's the other thing about legacies. Point number two is this: once we die, legacies are permanent. God's divine nature and character demands that it be this way. The law of sowing and reaping demands that it be this way. Galatians 6, 7, and 8, the Bible says, be not deceived as a warning. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. We will die the way we have lived, and we will be raised the way we died. And friends, there is no changing or altering this reality. In fact, thousands of years of history and the legacies of these individuals have not changed, and it will not change. In fact, I'll just say some names to you and you'll immediately know the legacy. Suppose I said to you Ahab and Jezebel, or maybe I threw in Ananias and Sapphira, or Nero, or Judas. Thousands of years have gone by, but these legacies haven't changed. More recently, I might suggest Hitler or Ted Bundy or John Wayne Gacy, others who have left legacies. Time won't change them. While we are living, we can write our stories. But after we die, we can't change our legacies. Number three, I would suggest this: there's good news. Because legacies are the result of choices. No legacies are predestinated. Somebody has suggested once you're an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. Friends, the Bible won't support such a position. It's not true. Once you are something, the Bible teaches you can stop being that something and become a new something. The Bible is overwhelmingly clear that you, because of the power of choice, you can change what you presently are. And friends, that's good news. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul went into Corinth, and he says what he found there, he relates for us in verse number 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. When he got to Corinth, that's what he found. How do you know that? The very next verse, Paul says, and such were some of you. But the good news is by the time the Apostle Paul arrived and left, when he arrived, that's what they were. When he left, that's not what they were any longer. Because between his arrival and departure, he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. And many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized, Acts 18, 8. And so Paul says here, such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified. You hear the words were and are. Such were some of you, but you are washed, sanctified, justified. They aren't those things anymore. Friends, there's good news for us here tonight. The fact that you have been making bad decisions doesn't mean you have to keep making them. Three generations of humans are related in Ezekiel 18, a father, a son, and a grandson. Each one of those individuals make their own decisions for life. The father is righteous, he has a son, and that son is unrighteous. That man has a son, and that son is righteous, clearly indicating that legacies can be altered, they can be changed. But I might ask you this, friends. Maybe you can consider this thought with me for just a few minutes. What if you had died last night? And today, what we were doing was actually writing, simply relating the legacy you'd already written. You see, if you had died last night, somebody would be working on a eulogy. Somebody would be contemplating what to put on the tombstone. If you had died last night, your legacy would already have been written, and all we could do is read what you wrote. I ask you, friends, examine yourself and ask yourself, what would you have written if it ended last night? Husbands, what kind have you been to date? You see, you promised to love, honor, nourish, and cherish her. The only question would be, did you? You see, if you had done that up to last night, then when they started talking about you at your funeral, they could say, what a wonderful husband he was. You made vows before God and witnesses. Did you keep them? You were to love her as Christ loved the church. Did you? You were to give your life for her as Christ did the church. Would you? You were to give her, love her as your own body. Did you? You see, if you had died last night, I need you to think about that. It would be over. The legacy would be written, friend. What kind of father have I been? You were to teach them God's word diligently. Deuteronomy 6, 7 through 10, you were to put these words in your heart and then diligently teach them to your children. The only question would be, did you? You were to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, Ephesians 6, 4. The only question would be, did you? You were to model Christ before them. You were to prepare your children for eternity. You see, time's up. See, if I'm a father and I died last night, that's it and that's all. My legacy as a father is written. But then I might ask, what kind of wife have I been? You were to submit to him as the church does Christ, did you? You were to reverence him, Ephesians 5. You were to obey him, Titus 2, 5. You were to be meek and have a gentle spirit, did you? You made vows before God and before witnesses. Did you keep them? I'm sorry. See, you died last night. So if you're a wife and you died last night, that's it. That's all. Your legacy's written. All we can do is read what you wrote. What kind of Christian have I been? Christian means follower of Jesus Christ. Disciple means learner of Jesus Christ. I belong to him, did you? Did you learn him? Were you faithful to Christ or were you faithful to someone else or something else? Were you a weak Christian? Were you an immature Christian? Were you a stumbling block to others? Time's up. Legacy's written. You died last night. But I might ask this, what kind of preacher was I? Did I preach the gospel or did I preach myself? Did I preach sound doctrine, healthy teaching, or my opinion? Did I preach Jesus or did I preach the thoughts of men? Did I preach the whole counsel or did I avoid certain doctrines because I didn't like the way you looked at me? Did I preach the truth or did I refuse to offend? Did I preach for gain or to please men or did I preach to praise God? Time is up. See, if you're a preacher, that's it. You're in eternity now. Legacy's written. What kind of elder was I? Elders are to feed the flock of God, did you? Elders are to care for God's sheep, did you? Elders are to stop the mouths of gainsayers, did I? Elders are to watch out for the sheep. They're to allow God's sheep or they're not to allow God's sheep to be scattered. Elders, did you allow God's sheep to eat unhealthy teaching? Did you leave the 99 and go retrieve the one? Did you lead God's sheep or did you let the preacher do it? You see, if you're an elder and you died last night, that's it. Now you have to appear before the chief shepherd. The way we died is the way we will be raised. Our legacy is written, and what will it say? One of the great challenges to human existence on this planet is sometimes other humans. And all I mean by that is we have this very nagging condition of thinking that somehow my life and responsibility to God is somehow dependent and hinged and connected to yours. Your behavior will not affect my legacy. God wants to know you. What did you leave? And if you and I spend our time connecting our actions and responsibilities to God, we haven't made it out of Genesis 3. God appeared in the garden and said, Adam, did you eat? You and I can put a period after that. What kind of legacy did you leave? That's the only question. I said there's good news about legacies. Let me give you a little bit more good news. You didn't die last night. Amen. That's real good news. Guess what there's time to do? These legacies can be altered. Each person gets to determine their own legacy. The soul that sinned, it shall die. The father shall not bear the iniquity of the son, neither shall the son bear the iniquity of the father. The righteousness of the righteousness shall be upon him, and the wicked of the wicked shall be upon him. You could have been going the wrong way in any of these areas. Let's say I'm a husband. I said I love her. I tried. I failed. Okay, I'm not getting it right, but I got time. God has spared me one more day. And I sat here and thought for just a moment that I could have died last night. Praise God, I didn't. On the way home tonight, I'm going to make myself a better man and a better husband. You mean a wife couldn't do the same? You mean if I've been a Christian and I'm not pleased with the legacy I've written as a child of God, I can't get to work on making that better? Praise God, we have time and opportunity. You could have been going the wrong way in any of these areas of life for a very long time. It's not for somebody else to judge you one way or the other. It's for you to stop, take inventory of your life, make a good, sound decision, and turn around if you need to. What the Bible sets forth overwhelmingly is that's the result of people's lives. Saul of Tarsus stands out as a mighty, powerful example of an individual who turned his life around. And when Paul recounts why he was allowed and blessed by God to do so, he says in part that he was an example that other people could do the same. Here is words in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. He says, who was before a blasphemer and the persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, and which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. But then listen to him say this, howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth a pattern of all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Saul turned around, and so can you. If you grew up in the projects, don't mean you have to read your family there. You can get out. Came from a single family home, doesn't mean you have to be a single mother. Came from poverty, doesn't mean you can't earn and save money. Grew up around promiscuity, doesn't mean you have to do and have sex before marriage. Never graduated from college, you could be the first. No one's ever been faithful to God in my life, but you can start it and then pass that on to your children. Suffered abuse, doesn't mean you have to accept abuse or become an abuser. Friends, you can get past your rearing, you can make changes. Husbands and fathers, if you need to make changes, make a change. Let's write a new legacy. Wives and mothers, you need to make changes, let's write a new legacy. Christians, preachers, elders, anybody needing to change anything, praise God, we got today. Amen. Let's start writing a new legacy. Saul changed his. The Corinthians changed theirs. You can change yours. If your present legacy is not what you want it to be, and thank God for another day and another opportunity to change it. And friends, here's what's very clear in Scripture. If you are willing to do so, then God will receive you. God will forgive you. God will renew you, reform you, restore you. And God will take you to heaven. In fact, God even says, I'll help you and guide you. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. God will help you turn around and then take you home. But friends, I need to warn you before we close. You might be tempted to wipe your brow and say, whew, we didn't die last night. And instead of taking this great privilege and opportunity God has given, you might be seduced to being lured and to returning to the same. You know, the fact that you didn't die last night does not mean you're guaranteed tomorrow. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth, Proverbs 27:1. And what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and vanishes away. Would you take advantage of God's goodness? Would you seek him wholeheartedly, and if necessary, make changes? Write a legacy not to please men, but one that God will say he or she died in faith. Well done, good and faithful servant. Now, to Christian this afternoon, would you become one? That would be the first and most important change. Come to Jesus and believe that he is the Son of God, John 8:24. Repent, turn, have a new mind, a new direction, a new course in life, Luke 13:3. Confess the name of Jesus, Romans 10:9-10, and be immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins, Romans 6:3-4, and God will sanctify, justify, wash and cleanse you, make you his own, make you a new creation. Friends, give you a new legacy. If you are his child, praise God for another day. Let's seize it and take opportunity to make whatever changes we need to the glory of God. We help you in any way. We invite you to come as we stand and as we sing.